Have you been avoiding conflict lately? Are you afraid that if you speak your truth to someone, you might damage the relationship permanently? Is inner conflict eating you up inside? Maybe you're thinking one thing, but doing another, and you just can't seem to get your head and heart to line up. As humans, we all deal with conflict. Join Jennifer McKenna now as she talks to business leaders about the importance of conflict and how we can all move through it with greater grace and ease, ultimately taking our relationships and our lives to the next level by facing conflict courageously.
Welcome to this week's episode of Conflict Rising. This week, I have a special guest. Joyce Dillon has been my co-host on two previous radio shows. So if you've ever tuned in, gosh, Joyce, back in the day, we did a blog talk radio show. Mm-hmm. And more recently, I think it was last year or the year before, we did one here on Ohm Times Radio called Living Purposefully. And so I always enjoy having radio conversations with you. So welcome to this format and to this show. One thing I want to say before we get into our conversation is that Conflict Rising really is about how we deal with conflict, whether it's inner conflict or external conflicts, a lot of them cultural. So we're doing deep dives into different multiple elements of the issues that are shaping our culture today. So today's show is called Career Change Later in Life, and Joyce and I'd like to share with you how to move through it successfully for those of you listening. So Joyce, so glad to have you.
Well, thank you. Glad to be back.
Yes. Yeah. Right. It's always so great to hear you on the show. So can you share with those listeners that have not heard us talking before, because today's a very focus topic that we probably haven't covered in past shows. Why, mm-hmm. How did you get into this as a coach, and why is it such a passion for you?
Well, just to say, I am a holistic health and wellness, life purpose, nurse and coach, which I've been pretty much most of my life in some way. That's the elements that I've been doing. And, you know, I think part of why I was interested in it, as I aged, that I was moving into a different aspect of what I was doing. And I, as far as life purpose work with people, and I was seeing that people that were coming to me for life purpose work were basically older and were really starting to be interested in making a career change and no longer working maybe in the job they had been in, or they wanted to change it in some way. So it just became really clear that there's a whole movement, I would say, probably just starting, well, not just starting, but sort of in the beginning stages of it, of people who are older, staying in the workforce, but making changes and not retiring. That's what I'm seeing. I mean, there's certainly plenty of people retiring, but there are lots of people who are not retiring either, Jennifer.
I see that too. You know, I do a lot of work in the corporate sector, and I just wrote an article about all, you know, the multiple generations and how it's reshaping corporate culture. So I know you're dealing with clients that may be transitioning out of the corporate sector but not ready to retire. And mm-hmm. what I'm seeing are, you know, new cultural challenges in the corporate sector because baby boomers aren't retiring and they're staying in those leadership roles. And so it's challenging sometimes with the culture clashes of how things were done before, yeah. how things need to be done today. So there's just different types of challenges. But mm-hmm. let's talk today about those folks who are not ready, you know, to hang it up and just go play golf every day.
mm-hmm. Right.
But they really may not want to continue on the same career path. Maybe mm-hmm. they don't want to keep that pace. Maybe they're, you know, they've done it, been there, ready for a change, but not ready to totally settle down. Let's talk about those people. What are you seeing a lot in terms of where their frame of mind is, what might be their biggest concerns.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll start out with this quote, which is totally what I believe, that it's never too late to fulfill your potential. And that is just so true. And I just recently was reading the story of an 85-year-old woman who is a painter, and I posted that on my site, who is come to a new part of her life, which she had not done. And she's sort of at the extreme edge of somebody who's doing something. But she changed her life. I mean, it takes a lot of courage as you get older. So I start with courage, that I think when people decide, and I think I'm going to talk about these, I think, four points for me of people who come to me and some examples of people who actually have changed their careers for various reasons. So I think it's obvious that some people who've been in the corporate world are totally burned out. They're tired. They've been doing this maybe 20, 30 years or a long time, and they really want to do something else. And so they could just want to do something else, or they could actually, their purpose, they could be at a point in their life where they feel like, which is what I see that happens with people who are older, who really haven't done their purpose and have not been living it over a longer period of time, that they have this yearning to do something different. And so you and I have talked about this before, that there's always something inside of the person if they have not done their purpose or their dream, whatever they want to say, for their life, and they're in their 50s or 60s, it really comes to the surface more, and they really want to do it, but they have no idea how to do it. So I think, there's back to the first one, I would say, is just people get burned out, and they want a career change, and then they have to understand how you even do that. I think there are people, like I said, who've had a dream and they've been sitting there, and they think when they retire or when they finish working that they're going to do this thing, and maybe they will, maybe they won't. And then there's also a group of people who have a trauma or loss or illness, and that has shifted their whole life and brings into focus more of what they really want to do. And they had not planned this. There's no possible way early on they would have plan this. And then there's a fourth category of people who have been in a career who want to alter it. They may want to stay within what they're doing, but they don't want to be in the corporation doing it anymore. So those are some of the how I see people show up with some of those issues. So do you want me to give some examples of who? Okay.
Sure. Yeah, those are really good, by the way. That resonates strongly with me. I know when I went through, major health issues, I was nowhere near retirement, but boy, it sure made me stop and rethink, what am I doing? It really taps into that deep yearning you're talking about of living more intentionally and purposefully. So I hadn't even thought about that with this market, but that's probably a big one. So yeah, give us some examples.
I think it is. So these are people I'm partnering with, and some of them are my clients, and some of them have been my mentors and teachers. So it's a combination of people doing different things, but all of them are older. I would say all of them are in their late 50s or 60s and moving into their 70s. So, but they're all very active, very healthy, and have no intentions of wanting to not continue to work in their life. So the first one is a woman, two women that I've met with since I've been in Kentucky, and they have a nonprofit called First Responders. And First Responders came out of their trauma, was developed out of that, where one woman's husband actually committed suicide, and the other woman, her son, was killed by a drunk driver head on. So they took that, that loss, that grief, that, all the pain and sorrow they were going through, and turned it around, and they set up First Responders, which is a nonprofit that helps people who've had a trauma of any kind to know where to go. So it's sort of you can pick up the phone and call this number, and they've given this number now to the police, so that if the police is involved in something, they have a card, they can hand it and say, call these people, and they'll direct you to some kind of help, because when people are in the middle of a crisis, they don't necessarily know where to go. They don't have any idea. So those are two people who, through crisis, have turned their, you know, who are doing a business that they had no intentions of ever doing at this point in their life. So another one is a friend of mine. Her name is Susan, and she's a nurse, and she's about 58. And so she has not been married in a couple of years. But after she was married for 2 years, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so I think that's, again, an illness, one of those things that turns people's lives around very quickly. And so she had, there was a dream that she had, and that was to actually go to theology school and become a Unity minister. And so that was, she had put that off for until, you know, she retired as a nurse. So when I just met with her the other day, she said, in fact, that she had already started school, Unity school, and that her dream was to be the minister of this Unity church, and that was what she was actually going to do. And so I think she decided that because she said, well, I had cancer, and how long do I want to wait? I mean, how long do I want to wait to go back to school since I'm 58? So she is still working as a nurse and will probably work a few more years, but her plan, so she has a plan in place and she's still working. So that's one way to do it. And that seems to be very successful for her. And so here are two other people who are, they're both, one's an executive coach and the other is a career coach. And they both left the corporation maybe 5 years ago. And they continue to coach and they are at home. And both of them have told me they love it because, you know, they're sitting in the kitchen and they have their pajamas on. They don't have to leave their house. They don't have to get up in the morning, but they are very happy. They have, their life is how they want it to be, that they can take as many clients as they want or not, you know, whatever, they can control their life better. So those are some examples of people that I've worked with or I'm involved with who have later in life, things have either helped them to shift their perspective or they have just decided they wanted to do something different in their career. So
those are great examples. And I love the first one sounds like a really interesting organization mm-hmm. that they've started, First Responders. So Joyce, you mentioned the courage thing, that it takes courage. And, you know, I think that's one of the interesting things about aging is as we get so savvy at our career, because we've been doing it so long, you know, many times you get to a point where you feel like you could do it in your sleep, which is what causes, I think, that feeling of wanting change, right? We as humans don't really do well when we stagnate. We're always evolving, always growing, no matter what stage of life we're in. And I think it must be challenging to go from being so confident and so comfortable in a very well-seasoned career to all of a sudden taking this huge leap of faith and starting something new. So let's talk about that a little bit, the emotional element of this type of transition. What does that look like with your clients and what are you, you know, helping them work through inside themselves?
Mm-hmm. Well, number one, you know, making a career change ranks right up near the top of life's biggest stressors, no matter what age you are. But if you're older, I think it's even more difficult. So, number one, I think if someone's thinking about it, a lot of people think about it for a very long time before they do it. And I think because there are more and more people now who are actually able to do it successfully, and we're seeing them, that the possibility is there. It's not just a dream or just thinking, well, I should have done that when I was younger, but you know, I'm really too old now. But all in all, I think it takes incredible courage. There just is no doubt about it. I can only talk about myself and what I see from other people, that there is fear involved in it. Of course there is, because you know, you have to decide, you know, are you, is this something you really want to do? Are you ready to do it? Are you ready to leave something that's very familiar, where maybe there's a team of people you've been working with, there are people, your friends that you know, you feel comfortable there, even if you don't like it, you feel comfortable there. And mm-hmm. we like to be comfortable, and we don't like a lot of change. I mean, no one likes a lot of change. It's just, you know, it's just how we're built to that. We want to try to keep ourselves stable. So there are a lot of questions and periods of time, I think, for people to ask themselves, why do they want to really do this? And emotionally, are you ready to make a change in your life? Are you ready, you know, financially, are you ready to do it? Are you ready to, you know, if you're retired or if you want to quit early, are you ready to not have that paycheck coming in? Are you ready for a period of time to be able to live financially without necessarily getting your paycheck in it? You know, how are you going to do that financially is a real big question. And a lot of people get very fearful around money and not having enough money. So I think there just are a lot of, you know, and some issues are real, like you talked about earlier. You know, people, if you're going into a different environment, you have to present yourself. You have to be competitive. You still have to be doing this, any kind of business that you have. And if you're older, you know, there are people who think that you're outdated and, you know, you really, you know, why don't you just retire and let us, being younger people, you know, have our time. And so there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of emotions around it. So I'm saying go for it, but I'm also saying there's a reality of emotionally and physically, how are you ready to do this? And the question is really answering for your own self. Do you really want this? You have to really want it to do it, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's all goes back to how passionate are you about it? Yes. I think, you know, entrepreneurism is so incredibly stressful and taxing and exhausting. And so a lot of entrepreneurs tend to be younger in their career. And so that's not necessarily the transition that everyone's making. But, you know, we're starting a great conversation. Let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be back to continue. Stay tuned.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Joyce Dillon about career change later in life. Sorry, but I hear my father's voice in my head saying, slow down. Nobody can understand what you're saying. so we were, you know, I was just making the point before we went to a commercial break that A lot of times people, when they feel that surge inside themselves, that wanting a change, they automatically associate it with wanting to start their own thing, right? So sort of an entrepreneur mindset. But later in life, when you're making these changes, you may be more emotionally mature and know, you know, and even more mature with your skills to know exactly how to do that. But, you know, that takes a lot of energy. So I'm wondering, you know, how often the thought of starting something may be where the passion begins. And then, you know, how often does it get channeled into, actually, somebody else is doing something similar, let me plug in. Or are we seeing a rising rate of more entrepreneurs later in life? I don't know. I haven't done my research on this, but what do you tend to see just in your own little view of the world with your clientele?
I think there is more. I think there's more beginning. That's, I can say it's not like a huge market at this point. There's many, many people who want to retire and they're tired and they deserve it. And that they want to just do whatever they want to do and travel and, you know, be with their friends and spend time with their grandchildren. And that's totally fine. Also, I want to say that you don't really, even if you're doing, just to get back for purpose work for a little bit, you could be doing lots of other things to make your life line up when you're older, like volunteer work. And doing things that where you don't have to be the one who's running everything. So there's a lot of other possibilities of what you could do with your life as you decide to make changes. But I think there is, I just feel that there is going to be, I think at some point, not maybe, I don't know, 15 years or so maybe, that they're going to be, age is going to be not as restrictive as it has been for most of my life and probably for yours, that it will be, there will be people who will be choosing, and there'll be a lot more older people who are choosing to continue to work and do different things and use the wisdom. I think, you know, that we haven't really talked about this, and so we will probably on just about what does an older force bring into a company or to make change. What are their skill set that they're bringing in that other people who are younger just simply have not had the lifetime to bring in that skill set. And so I do, and I'm, some of the research I'm starting to read is indicating that, and I think I sent to you, yeah, I think you posted this of this, it was a video with Gail King. It's called Coming of Age, and these are women who are rising to the top, and these are women 60 plus who are, they are in corporations, but it has more to do with the fact that they're, women are out there and they're staying longer in, whether mm-hmm. they're in a corporation or they're starting their own corporation, they are able to kind of move through ageism and sexism in a better way than previously, where if you were 50 before and you're a woman, you're just probably, forget it. You're not going to be perceived, you know, you're not coming into the workplace, you know, by yourself. It's very hard.
Yeah, and you make a great point here, because I think that a lot of those folks who are in their later stages of their career have mental blocks around ageism and sexism because they have witnessed that or experienced it firsthand in the course of their career. And so these mental blocks can cause a paralyzing fear, right? So they may want to make a change, but they may feel as though it's just way too big of a hurdle to cross because of those things. And so my encouraging word, just on the heels of yours, is to say to those people out there, what you do have to offer is invaluable. The wisdom and the maturity and the skills that you have developed that may be to you feel like they're outdated because we're so high tech today. And, you know, the focus is on the millennials and what they bring to the table, and innovation is the hot topic. Well, guess what? I work with these clients in the corporate sector, and when it gets out of balance and you don't have good leadership in place because there's not a lot of seasoned voices at the table and there's not a high amount of emotional maturity and true leadership skill that comes with high self-awareness, those are invaluable skills that I think the older generation tend to forget that they have. Those are really hot commodities. And so I just wanted to encourage, if anyone's out there listening that's in this situation and you've got those fears coming up and you feel like everywhere you turn, there's a headline that tells you all this sexism and ageism is out there, have no fear. There's somebody out there, trust me, who more than values what you have to offer. It's just that not enough older career professionals are coming to the table and offering that up. They're either staying where they are, you know, and not moving. And so they may, some of them may feeling stagnant, but when they transition out, they're not remembering perhaps that this is what they have to offer to a new environment. So I'm a big fan of all of those skills. We don't talk about it enough, and it's really critical.
I think that it would be a great article, but I have to share the story that I went on. I would call it an interview. I went to actually a college here to possibly do some coaching with students and faculty. And I was a little nervous because I haven't really been on interviews in years. And so I'm thinking, finally, I just stopped it. And I said, you know what? That's crazy. You're going to go in there and you're going to blow them away. Forget it. You have to know who you are. I mean, I went in there, there were three people and they all came in and they were all different ages, but certainly they were older. And they were lovely. And so just chatting through it, they thought that I brought an incredible amount of, change, ideas, diversity, because of the life that I have had. And they were looking at my resume. So they knew that I had businesses and traveled and lived in different places and had done all this different stuff. And it was sort of amazing because when I left, I wasn't sure that I even wanted the job, that I wanted to be a coach there because I didn't think it was the right fit for me. But it didn't matter. Maybe all I needed to do was to go there. And there was one woman who at the left, she said, I'm sorry, this interview's over, but I'd really like to talk to you because you seem so interesting. And so it was a whole different experience than what I expected to go into an interview. So it really reinforced that you can't forget that you have a life experience that, you know, anybody who's starting a business or nonprofit or anything has had an incredible life from all the things they've done, all the experiences, people they've met and skills they have. So, you know, that's my story about going on an interview and surviving.
Yeah, no. But I think that's great. I think it's very relevant. And, you know, you talked earlier about money being an issue. And I think my observation has been that there are a couple of different groups on that. One group that has been very worried about retirement and saving, and maybe they've had a lot of setbacks and challenges, and so they're not in a financial position to retire, but they don't necessarily want to continue doing what they're doing. So money is more of a focus for them as they make the next change. And then I think there's a whole group of seasoned professionals who may be moving out of executive level roles where money isn't an issue, but they're really trying to figure out what is my next move. I don't know, right? So I do think money plays a role in some of this, because for those that need it, obviously they need to be able to market themselves with the skills that we're talking about, right? Being able to leverage how invaluable some of the non-traditional skills are that you don't necessarily put on a resume. And then the group that, may, you know, money may not be much of an influencing factor. You talked earlier about volunteerism, you know, maybe starting there. So mm-hmm. can we talk about those two markets, right? And break down some tips and tools or insights about how, if there's different groups out there, where would we tell the group to start that money is an issue for them? Mm-hmm. How heavy would that weigh? Do you have clients like that? Do you see things like that out there? How paralyzing is that fear? How much of that is influencing their decision making? And what would you tell them?
Well, I think that is a reality. And trying to figure out if you stop your job, you know, can you survive for 6 or 7 months while you're getting your business up and running? Can't, and that's a reality. What are you going to do? And it depends on a lot of factors individually. And you're right, there are people out there who have money, and they definitely can, are they married, and they, that is, that their support, so they don't have to worry about it. But I always say there's a way to start this. I mean, it's sort of like the stories I gave of the examples of people of how they got into it. Not everyone, if, you know, one of the traditional ways people always started a business is they still worked on in a business and started their business part-time. That way you get to test it out. You still put some money out, but you still have a job with income coming in. So that's always a way to do it until you're ready to jump off and actually do it. So that's a safety factor. And for people who are just too terrified to do it, I suggest doing that, because there's nothing wrong with it. There's really, whatever way that somebody feels comfortable in moving out and doing, you know, doing whatever they want to do, doing their dream, is what I support. And I would help them with a program to, let's do a little at a time and get started and see if this is really what you want.
Yeah, I agree with that. And though I don't specialize in career transition, I've been a coach for 17 years. And one of the guiding principles that I use in my coaching program is just, you know, asking your question, of all of my options, which one brings me the most peace?
Yeah.
So if money becomes such a big fear, then what's the game plan, or you know, to the point that you're making here, how can we look at a transition period where you do have some, whether it's a part-time job or, you know, however you're suggesting to break this down, but to bring in a little bit of income before you're making a huge leap? Because even if your heart says, boy, I want to go for it, if your head is holding you back, the most important thing is that you get your head and heart aligned when you're taking those actions. So you don't have to take a huge leap out of the gate. You can take baby steps and make transition plans and change those plans as you go and you know, grow as you go. But asking the question, what of the options in front of me, which one brings me the most peace? That has been a guiding principle for me, and I've shared that with many clients over the years, because I think that a lot of times when you're facing a big change, there are so many voices that get conjured up inside your head that it becomes hard to get clear about which decision to make. And so that, to me, is what oftentimes is behind fear paralysis. It's, there's just too much information. I have too many voices in my head. So we just shut down. And so asking a simple question like that, and, you know, if you can't answer the question, what brings me the most peace? Maybe the question is, what brings me the most joy? Or maybe that's the question to ask the person that has money, right? And they don't know where to go. then that can be a guiding question. Of all the options, what brings me the most joy? I have a big belief that your body won't lie to you, but your mind will.
Yep.
So you have to be careful with all those voices, how many of them are being conjured up from a place of fear. Whereas your body, if you just get still and you ask yourself certain questions, what would it be like to take this route? What would it be like to take that route? What would it be like to work for this company? What would it be like to volunteer for that organization? If you feel a surge of energy coming through your body at the thought of it, then that's a good sign to head in that direction. If you feel mm-hmm. your energy start to dissipate or get depleted at the thought of it, then obviously that's a warning sign. So to me, those are subtle ways to kind of cut through the chaos in your head and get to some mm-hmm. clarity. Do you have some suggestions? Yeah.
Well, here's another one that I've seen is really big, and it certainly has been in my life, but I see it in so many people when they get really confused about, they just can't seem to make a decision about any of that, that it's really, there may be some work up front that needs to be done, which is really to deal with those emotions and fears and in your head that is going off all the time. It will not let you make any clear decisions. And we all have them, all of those in the psyche, all of those parts that are there. You know, the judger, the protector. We know that when you start making change in your life, any kind of change, transition, certainly around the career, that things in your life can start changing, and they can sometimes not be, it can be chaotic, and things can mm-hmm. start falling apart around that, because it all has to do with what's going on in your head. What are your beliefs? You know, is there some old wounds there that you don't deserve to have you believe you don't deserve to have a business? So oftentimes if I have that experience with somebody, they just can't seem to clarify what it is, and they seem to be propelled by fear, that instead of dealing with that a lot, I go into, let's try to clear some of that stuff and then come back and look at what might be, what you may have a different look or a different feel for your business now or what you want to do. So.
Mm-hmm. Great. So we're going to go to a commercial break in a couple minutes. And when we come back, I want to talk about a game plan. You know, what can we mm-hmm. say to those folks who are looking at making this transition? So we're going to take a commercial break now, and when we come back, let's do a deep dive into that. Stay tuned. Okay.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We are continuing our conversation with Joyce Dillon about career change later in life. And when we took a commercial break, I wanted to come back and talk about, you know, a game plan. What are practical steps we've given? We've kind of sprinkled some tips and tools through our conversation and our storytelling up to this point. But, you know, I love leaving listeners at the end of each episode with some really practical how-to steps and recommendations. And I know, Joyce, you and I have had many conversations about these types of things over the years, and one of the most critical steps that we agree on is the vision, right? What's the vision? And sometimes people don't know. But what would you say about the importance of creating a vision and how to do it?
Well, I would say it's absolutely critical. And a lot of people do not do that work up front, which is so important, because it will give you answers to other things to do. But I think just starting sort of with clarity, getting some clarity, and not put a lot of anxiety around it. It's just clarity. We're using different sources to get information in. And so first getting clarity, it could be from other people, from input about your skill set, about taking some assessments, about, again, getting just clarity. What are you really good at? Sometimes having a group of people and asking them just to give you some feedback on what you're really good at, how they perceive you. And those are some starting points. Also, just to meet other people and ask them questions about businesses. And then after you gather enough information, you have to do your own visioning. You have to do some sort of vision process where you sit with yourself, and it can be done in many different ways, but basically you're asking yourself, what is the what for you? Why are you doing this? What is your purpose in this? Why do you want to do this? Because those have to be answered, because they're critical in starting anything, that you know the why, not just jumping in and doing something. So it's just imperative that you work on your vision.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I do think that because humans are creatures of habit, and because of so much of the technology and innovation that we have today, we tend to get stimulated by busyness, just being busy, doing all day long. And when we're not doing, we get caught in a mental trap of feeling like we're worthless, or things are going to fall apart, or, you know, money's going to stop coming in, or, you know, we just have all these voices that come in that say, you can't stop doing. And Joyce and I are always standing there in agreement to say, well, you kind of have to stop doing for a second and start thinking about how you want to be.
Yep.
The being, right? And so vision to me is all about that. It's looking down the road and saying, how do I see myself 5 years from now? Do I see myself vibrant? Am I working with a team? Am I working with animals? Am I working with people? Am I working at a computer because there's something that I love doing, but I like doing it and, you know, at home by myself? Online, like, you know, if you're introverted, that may be really appealing. I want to make money doing something I love, but I'd like to do it virtually. That, you know, so all of those questions are going to be different for everyone, depending on your personality type, how you get your energy, you know, what your passion is, who you want to interact with. And if we don't take the time to ask ourselves those questions, then we're like, in my opinion, we are like the mice on the wheel, right? We're moving, we're busy, and we're really not going anywhere. And we really need to, all of us, even those of us that aren't in career transition, to always kind of touch base with ourselves and step back and say, is what I'm doing today leading me to where I want to ultimately be? And I think at later stages in life, I know the older I get, the more that becomes important to me. So transitioning career, I think, you know, for those in that situation and are listening, please take the time to do that. And and if you don't know where to begin, you know, there's the old vision boarding that we talk about a lot. And that's a simple exercise. Go get a bunch of magazines or go online and start cruising around different sites and get images. All you need are pictures, images, graphics, things that resonate with you. What makes your heart sing when you look at it? Cut those pictures out of magazines. Words, what phrases are speaking to you? What gives you joy when you read it? Cut those words out, paste them all up on a board, and back up and look at it and say, what's the common theme of this? Because I think, you know, when you're doing visioning, some people are very clear of what they want to be doing and how they want to feel 5 years from now, where they want to be. Some people are clear about that, but maybe haven't taken the time to articulate it. So for those of you that are clear, write it down in a journal or put it on something that you can look at every day. But those who aren't clear, that's, you know, that's where the vision board comes in really handy. Start by understanding what makes your heart sing. Joyce, what would you add to that?
Well, I'd actually add some purpose work in there, even though you included it. But I would actually have it after you got a vision. I would, it's really important. If you're going to start something later in life, I find that most people really want it to be about their purpose. They're not willing to just do something again. It's not so much even about money then. It's really about the rest of my life, am I doing something that's a service to people on the planet? And that's really what it's about. And when people are changing in their 50s, 60s, 70s even, that they want to do something that matters for the rest of their life. And so purpose is very strong in asking yourself, and there's lots of exercises about how one finds that this is your purpose. But basically, it's just you sitting and asking yourself some questions about purpose. Is this really, you know, what is it that I want to do? Is this something that really is going to change my life and help change people's lives and not just something frivolous that is not going to really matter? So I would say purpose. And then, of course, you know, it helps to have some goals and have sort of a strategy action as you move through. You've got to have, we move out of sort of the being and move more into the action steps of having a strategy and action of what would it look like? What would you need to do? What are your steps to actually, what do you need to research? What has to happen for you to actually take on this project and open your business or whatever you decide to do? Those are things that are, you know, they take the energy in action. You have to do it. So those would be the next steps that I would say, Jennifer. And then at some point, you just have to jump off and you have to do it. You're either going to do it or you're not going
to do it. Right. And I think in that goal setting, you know, going back to relating it to the vision, it's if you know that you want to serve the planet or serve others in a specific way, right? So, for example, Joyce, last night I went on a walk around the neighborhood just to clear my head, and I was wearing the T-shirt you gave me, and it says Wild Love. And every time I wear it, I always laugh to myself because I think, no telling what people think of me when I'm wearing this T-shirt that just says Wild Love on the front. But that T-shirt represents a wild horse preserve. And a woman who was just deeply passionate about saving the horses. And so, you know, if you're a person like that and you know specifically what is calling you, but you don't know where to go to channel that or to put your skills to use toward that point of service, you know, get to Joyce's point, the strategy that you put together may just include doing research first, right? Your game plan may not fully form until you do the research. Find out who's doing that, that's out there. What are they doing? Have you call them up and set up an information interview. Find out more about them. And as you start to chisel away and learn more, it helps to dissipate the fear. You gain courage because you gain more excitement. You start to rule out some options. You may rule in some options you hadn't thought of. But, you know, I'm just using that as an example of what you said, Joyce, where you, setting the goals and the strategy is equally as important as just getting out there and doing it. And I think that some of that happens simultaneously, right? Because in the research, you start to shape your goals. You start to get more information and move out of any fear paralysis you may be having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know from my mother, you know, you brought up the purpose thing. She's in her 70s, and my father passed away last Thanksgiving. And, you know, this is what she keeps saying. She's been his caretaker for the last 24 years. And she just keeps saying to me, I'm looking for my purpose. I'm looking for my purpose. Mm. She's got it. Wow. You know, she needs a reason to re-energize herself and get out of bed.
Yeah.
And so that speaks directly to what you were talking about, is purpose is huge right now.
It is.
With all the cultural conflicts going on,
yeah.
I do think there's a huge rise in everyone feeling compelled to do something truly meaningful.
It is, and purpose, I'm just so happy that purpose has risen up like this, because it's always been there, but it's really important. And there's lots of research being done on purpose right now. And actually, for well-being, life purpose is one of the most critical factors of your health. That if you're not living your purpose, it really impacts your overall health. And I've talked about the blue zone before, these regions all over the world that where people are really healthy, they live to be 100, they're still very physical, and the center of their model for living is life purpose in the middle of their model. It is key. So I think we've just never really known how important it is to live your purpose no matter what you're doing, but certainly if you're starting a new business, it has to be part of the mix. Without it, it really leaves out a lot. So.
Yeah, and I tend to think that purpose also, when we feel a sense of purpose or deeper meaning, we become more courageous, right? We exercise more faith over fear. We allow that passion kind of naturally starts to percolate. And so I do think, Joyce, you've touched on something really crucial in this conversation. Which is, you know, I had asked everyone earlier to ask the question, what brings me the most peace when we're thinking about an immediate transition plan? But the ultimate transition plan, really, I think that is a key question. What is my purpose? And I think it brings it all full circle, too. It's sort of like the chicken or the egg. If you don't know, it still goes back to what energizes you, what makes your heart sing when you think about it. How do you want to serve? Who do you want to serve? Where does your heart just jump out of your skin when you hear a story, or jump out of your chest? You know, when you hear a certain story about a certain group of people or a certain group of animals, like those are hints. Those are things that are conjuring your soul to say, hey, check that out.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
I know we're going to be wrapping up shortly. So what would your last bit of advice be for this group of folks who are really eager to make a change at this stage?
Well, my advice is always about, I totally believe people are to live what they do, what they want to do, and live the life they want to live. We only have so long on this planet. And I just think there's so many things people can do that if you just open yourself up and do some simple work that you can do way before you jump off, that there is something out there that will hit your heart and will be your purpose. There just has to be, because I believe that everyone has a purpose. And so if you haven't found it, like, it will go back to what I said, you're never too old. You're never too late, or you're never too old to fulfill your potential and your life dream. It just isn't possible in my mind. So I just say, do what you want to do. Do your life while you have an opportunity. You don't want to leave the planet with a dream inside of you. Just, you don't want to do that. It's very important,
right,
to do what you want to do.
Right. And so for those of you out there who hear that and think things like, well, that's easier said than done, and you start going down your practical list of obstacles, recognize that those are your voices of fear, and they are very normal. But our message to you is not to let them get in the way, right? List them out. Get them down on paper so that they get out of your head, so that your head is free to follow your heart. And allow some of these exciting service-oriented thoughts to come in and get your head and heart aligned so that you can really head in that direction. Because I can't imagine ever coming to the end of your days on this planet and living with regret when you do that. So, Joyce, I want to thank you so much. Your insights were powerful and invaluable, and I hope you'll join us again. And
absolutely.
In the meantime, I look forward to hearing or seeing everybody next week on next week's episode of Conflict Rising. Thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in.
Bye.